a lot of
people. Excuse me, the conference is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. You may begin.
Thank you so much.
Okay, thank you.
It would already begun, but anyway. Sorry, we had... did somebody else just join, apart from the operator?
It's Edmund joining.
Okay, hi.
Hi.
Edmund.
So we're slightly down on CC people for some reason, but...
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know why.
So. Okay. Well, I sent a note out to everybody, which I hope you got, which just says that the purpose of the call is to make sure that we're all reasonably comfortable that the first draft of the a topic paper is in sufficient shape to go out for public comment. I stress it is the first draft. It isn't supposed to be perfect. It's meant to be an attempt at grasping all the topics. But would you like to just briefly explain the additions or any major changes that you've made?
The major addition is, and that was in the email as well, is inclusion of the financial contribution question and the and the legal arrangement between ID and CCTLD managers under the overall policy and ICANN. And there is a whole new section on these two topics.
Okay.
So that's section 13.
And other than that, it's just tidying up, isn't it?
Yeah. Minor details.
Okay. All right. What's the date that we're supposed to publish this on our tentative schedule?
Hopefully, if everybody agrees, by the end of this week, so it will be available when people start flying into Seoul.
Okay.
And there is, accordingly, there is a 28-day period for public comment as well.
Which obviously includes the meeting.
Yeah.
Which we're all not happy with out here in my part of the world anyway.
Why?
We're making a fuss about having periods that are including the meeting. We just want to go ahead and do it, but we will pro forma and make a fuss about
We always do because for the CCs at least. We've learned from experience that having a discussion face to face at an ICANN meeting is very valuable for us.
I understand, Chris, and we think it's a good idea too. We just think it should be 30 days, excluding the 5 days of the face to face ICANN meeting. So it would be about 5 days.
I don't have any problem with that. We can extend the extend the consultation period to 35 days from the date of publication.
Yep.
That's fine. But I'm inclined to listen to any comments that there may be on this call, and then get you to send a note out to the full list now or in a couple of hours' time, just to say that we intend to, subject to any comments, we intend to publish on whatever day it is, and people need to get any comments into us within sort of 48 hours.
Yeah.
Someone is making a very loud noise.
Yeah. Hello?
Well, I've lost someone.
Yeah.
Go and check it out.
The operator picked up?
Yeah, don't worry. That's Christine will go and sort that out. That noise will stop in a minute. So, can I ask... once it's stopped, there you go.
Yeah.
Can I ask, does anybody have anything that they particularly want to address or talk about in respect to the current draft of the topic paper?
Yanis, Chris.
Yes, Yanis.
I read it through these additions, and I think that they are fine. No problem with that. But in the discussion in the GAC, one issue came up, and I'm not sure that I have seen it in the document, and that is the question between Fast Track and this PDP, whether decisions of the PDP would have retroactive force, and whether whatever will be decided in the PDP would be applied also to to operators.
Yes.
Procedure.
I understand. The simple answer is no. The slightly more complicated answer is that the intention of the intention of the fast track was to attempt, at any rate, to make sure that any delegations that took place under the fast track were not going to be made outside of any final policy, which is why we limited the number of delegations for language, and why we said it had to be an official language, etc. So whilst I wouldn't suggest that it's impossible that we might have a circumstance where an issue might occur, I don't think it's likely, and if it did, I think we would have to apply some sort of grandfathering rule. But?
Yeah, it's also a matter of, say, the details you're looking at, I would say. You could imagine if you go down, say, the path of a list, that, say, some of the fast-tracked IDN-CGTLD would not be on that list, but then they have to be put on that list as just a statement, I would say, if there is no criteria, if the criteria for such a list would be different.
The only thing I can think of that would be remotely possible would be a circumstance where we had a situation on the number. But if you say that the bottom line is that the absolute bare minimum would be that a language has to be in the full blown policy development, is that a language has to be an official language, then that's not going to be an issue. If you say that it would be possible, I suppose, to have a circumstance where the PDP said that IDN CCTLDs were limited to one per territory, but I think I think we're past that point now, aren't we? We've acknowledged, certainly in the fast track, that you can have more than one, provided that it's an official language. So I think, Yanis, would it solve the issue, or would it make people more comfortable if there was a statement somewhere that said that it's not intended that developments in the policy development process would in any way impinge on IDNs issued in the fast track?
No, I'm not making any statement. I'm just asking question. I mean, in fact, I'm relaying question which was put by one GAC member in our internal discussion on slightly different thing, but it relates to PDP.
Yeah.
So, for instance, I have a point. If now under fast track we have no wildcards. The ban for wildcards. And no obligation for gimmicks. Imagine that PDP is coming up with a policy which allows wildcards and imposes DNSSEC. So, question is, what the operator under fast track procedure should do? I mean, I imagine that he would immediately put in place provisions for wildcards if that some money in. But then he refuses to introduce DNSSEC. So, is how we address this potential situation?
Okay.
And don't say me that DNSSEC is technical requirement. So let's imagine that there might be something which is not technical requirement, which is sort of compulsory. I'm just using DNSSEC as example.
I understand. The only thing I can say to answer that is that the CCNSO bylaws on policy development state that were we to produce a policy of any description that involves an incumbent or existing CCTLD manager, and that would include those who are CCTLD managers under the fast track, implementing something. So the policy development process came up with a recommendation that meant that these something, whatever it may be, had to be implemented. The answer is that it does have to be implemented, subject to a series of exceptions, and those exceptions are listed in the bylaws and include things like being contrary to national law or national religion and other things.
Yeah.
So I think the answer is, generally speaking, Anis, any CC policy that is deemed to be a global policy is binding on CCNSO members unless they claim an exception, and there is a process for doing that. Does that make sense?
It makes sense. Of course, we don't have full knowledge about CCNSO bylaws, and I'm now rebooting my computer, but I would like to quote that particular proposal which was put forward, and in any case, I think it would be useful in if there would be some kind of statement in this document, whether in the right up front,
yes,
saying that this will supersede everything else which exists until now, or at the end, wherever it is, but I think that this should be made very clear.
Okay, so I accept that. So let me summarize what we're talking about so that we are all clear. Any policy recommendations made under this particular PDP apply specifically to IDNs, and it would be outside of the scope of this PDP to make any policy recommendations that apply to non-IDN CCTLDs. That's the first point. Second point is that if we do make a policy recommendation, which ends up becoming accepted through the process, that is global CC policy, which is deemed to be binding, subject to exception. And Bart, I think the answer is that it would be useful, perhaps, to do a status of any policy under this PDP series of paragraphs in the topic paper that said that.
Yep, and that still needs to be included in, say, in the background session. So that's section D of the whole paper.
And then, Yannis, you'd be able to refer to that in your discussions in the GAC.
Yeah, if I may, I found this proposal coming from one GAC member, which goes as follows. Introduction of IDN CCTLD should not await completion of the ongoing policy development process, nor should any elements of a subsequent PDP be applied retrospectively prior to agreement with the operator or the relevant government or public authority.
Right. Well, that's fine, and that's a statement from a person on the GAC. And which of course they're quite entitled to make. But the actual status of any recommendations made on the PDP is governed by the bylaws. So if we actually make that clear in the document, and that's simply a statement of what the bylaws say, then that answers the point. If we were to achieve consensus in the CCNSO on a particular policy under the terms of the policy development process, that consensus recommendation goes to the board and that's accepted, then that recommendation becomes a policy, and that policy has a certain standing. there are plenty of get out clauses, if you like, for existing ccTLD managers.
No,
perhaps. Sorry, this is Olaf. Perhaps
yes,
it's worthwhile to mention the consensus requirements for PDP as well, how they are stated for the CCNSO, because that, I think, solves a bit of the riddle.
Well, it's a fairly high threshold. It has to be it has to be agreed by a series of votes. There's a right of objection, the right of reconsideration, and so on. So there are some very high hurdles that have to be overcome for any recommendation to become for any suggested recommendation to become a formal recommendation. We have to run the policy development process strictly in accordance with the bylaws, which of course we will do. And that means that if we get to a stage where, let's just say that Australia has an IDN CCTLD and finds that it is unable to meet has an IDN CCTLD in the fast track and finds that it's unable to meet that policy requirement, it has a series of possible ways of avoiding that. So I guess, Yanis, maybe the answer is that you need to have a look at what gets drafted and see if that actually is able to provide sufficient comfort for those that are raising an issue.
No, okay. I'm just warning or put.
I understand. I understand.
Flag. This is not a statement for the time being.
No, I realize that. I realize that. Okay. Anything else that anyone wants to bring up for the purpose of this discussion, bearing in mind that we will be sending a note out today saying, for those that weren't able to make it on the call, we're still open to comments on the draft prior to its publication. Please provide those within whatever period of time, and our intention is to publish this document for public comment on X date and have it open for whatever it is, 35 days or something. Any other points?
Hi, Chris. This is Manan.
Yes.
On the same point Yanis was raising, I just want to remind ourselves of the sentence we already agreed on, that the fast track should not preempt outcomes from the PDP.
Could you just say that again, Manal?
We already agreed that fast track should not preempt outcomes from PDP, right?
That's correct, yes, that's correct.
I mean, wouldn't this be in conflict with whatever we may say, that policies should not be applied retroactively?
No, possibly, but.
I mean, maybe the language should be, it should apply unless there is whatever reason.
It should apply in accordance with the bylaws is actually the... Yeah, I agree with you, but it's okay. So let's be really clear. The first point is this: any global policy that comes out of the policy development process is only binding on, for a start, is only binding on members. That's the first point. The second point is that if you are a member and you are unable to be bound by it for a series of reasons, and one of those is public policy in your territory, another one is law in your territory, then you can claim an exemption from being bound by it. So I don't think the statement that it should not impinge on the policy development process, it should be taken to mean under any circumstances. It means that we have to operate in accordance with the bylaws.
Okay.
But I accept your point, and I think we do need to make it clear.
So what I'll do is I'll include, say phrase it differently, but include what is in the bylaws one way or the other. And that's going to be in say, the last final section, which still needs to be filled in, say, the background.
That's right. All right. Anyone else? Okay. Well, on that basis, then, Bart, if you can, one, send a note out, and two, in your notes say that you are also drafting some background information on the status of any policy in the bylaws, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Then if you can get that out today, then we can aim for our goal to get this published by the end of the week, if possible.
Yeah.
And if it runs forward to the following week, so be it. It doesn't matter. We'll
no, but that. The sooner the better.
The sooner the better, yeah. Okay. Anyone else before we close? Good. All right. Bart, I'll call you in a minute. And everybody else, thank you for making the effort to be on the call. For those of you that haven't been involved in these calls before, I just want to say one thing, which is that I'm conscious of the fact that it might seem as if not very much is happening, but we actually know from experience of running these that the steps we're taking, although they might seem very slow and you know, sort of small, very small steps, are the best way of setting this up at the very beginning so that we can actually get down to some substantive work reasonably quickly. And I can assure you that once we've got the topic paper approved, the real nitty-gritty work of actually deciding what the policy should be will actually start. But we've learned from experience that we have to do the groundwork first. So on that basis, if everyone's happy, we'll close the call and there'll be a note coming out very soon.
And please note, we'll have a face-to-face meeting in Seoul.
Yes, if we can find the time.
Yeah. How is scheduled?
Sorry?
Second.
Yes?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that.
Chris, can you stay on for like 30 seconds? And
I can, Christina. Yes, I can.
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay. Jan, I'm on a conference call. I'll call you back.
Bye.
Bye, everybody.
Thanks, everybody.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye.
Christina, what did you need?
Repeat the attendees that you got.
Did you note them? I don't know.
I've noted some.
Yeah, I'm pretty much sure we've got everybody. So it was Manal, Yanis, Cheryl, Olaf.
Sorry, who did you say before Olaf?
Manal.
Yeah.
Yanis.
Yes, and the other one?
Cheryl,
okay.
Great. Olaf. Diane. Mohammed Bashir. Edmund. I think that was it, but don't worry, just put those down and anyone who was on the call will tell you if they weren't.
Yeah.
If they were, rather.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Okay.
But I'll give you a call in a second.
Yep.
Thanks. Bye.
Okay. Bye.